Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 20 this morning. Well, I just want you to, we are going to refer back to Joshua, but we're going to start here in Jeremiah chapter 20. So what I've been doing during these weeks leading up to our Christmas theme a bit is I wanted to talk about this issue of being alive on the inside. And when I refer to that, I'm thinking of John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and have it to the full." And so the reality is, it is God's will for me and for you to be alive on the inside. It means our soul is to be aflame. And we've clarified before that that doesn't mean we walk around with dilated eyeballs and we're tuned out and we don't know what real life is about and everybody else thinks that we're so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. What we're talking about is something much deeper. When you talk about life to the full from John 10:10, or in your King James Version, that you may have life and have it more abundantly, we're speaking of having within our heart a deep sense of satisfaction and being fulfilled, something that endures and it lasts and our lives are enriched because of it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 is a verse that kind of pinpoints a little bit of what I'm thinking about. It says, "If by the trespass of one man," now that would be Adam, way back at the beginning. "If by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus?" So the point is that if I am alive on the inside because of my relationship with Jesus, regardless of what goes on around me, and sometimes we don't like the circumstances we face, because I am alive on the inside, I actually, by the Holy Spirit, by God's help, I reign in life with Jesus. And it's this sense of being set free, not just from the law of sin and death that gives me eternal life, but also being free from the circumstances that can control every part of my thinking and my heart, because I know that God is in control. And this is the God that I know. So the point would be that when a person becomes a Christ follower, it isn't just the gift of eternal life that they're given, but it's the quality of their earthly life that has been changed due to their relationship with Jesus. So in reality, being alive on the inside today is in view of the fact that I have victory because of life that overcomes death through Jesus. And that's my ultimate victory. My enemy has no hold on me. I was listening to James McDonald a number of weeks ago, actually, in the truck. And part of the issue that he brought up was John chapter 11, 24 and 25 and 26, where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life, and he who believes on me will live even if he dies." And he made this blanket statement, Christians never die. And it's true. And so if we know Jesus personally, we merely, at the point of our earthly death, continue our eternal life in God's kingdom. It's just a stepping from one sphere to another. Christians never die. And so when it comes to living life on the inside and being alive there, this is at the very foundation of all that. Now let's be very real. Because this week, again, sitting in the truck and listening to Focus on the Family, a mother who now is in her midlife was sharing her testimony of some very dark times in her life. And she's actually written a book on it. One of the issues was when one of her children was miscarried. And through all the pain that she, with her maternal side, sensed going through that time. Later on, she had another child born who had special needs. They often referred to him as like a misguided missile, because as a young boy, if he got something in his mind, he was gone. He was out there and doing this. And she shares that at 16 years of age, they went to this arena to watch a game. And they had a special suite and everything. And someone came into the suite to give them food or whatever. And they had closed the door. But at 16 years of age, this special needs child darted. And they just thought he went to the bathroom. Actually, one of the families stood outside the bathroom door waiting for him. And he never came out. Well, come to find out, in the long run, he darted past the washroom, outside the arena, through the parking lot, and was in the middle of the road or on the highway outside the arena, and he was struck and killed. So now let's be real. Because the circumstances that we may have in our Christian lives aren't those that just make us happy. You know, we're still happy here. But the mother testified to this fact, that this being alive on the inside that she experienced during these days, and even during that very difficult time, was not so much a flimsy happiness, but there still was that deep-rooted joy on the inside that was strengthening and sustaining. And so she was saying to us, and we need to say, that in Christian circles, while we talk about living life more abundant and life to the full and being alive on the inside, we are not untouched, and we do not belittle the pain that all of us may feel in various circumstances that God may allow us to go through. Rather, what we're talking about is that being alive on the inside isn't like a flimsy happiness that comes and goes depending on what tragedy or what triumph happens, but there is a deep-seated, strengthening, impressive, sustaining joy that we find in God alone that helps us even through the types of tragedies that this Christian mother experienced. So I want you to understand, I'm not talking this morning about pie in the sky. This is very real. And as I look back in my life, part of what I'm addressing during these weeks is this, that I found certain things that have kept my soul alive or resilient. And it doesn't mean we haven't had times of struggle and being disheartened or discouraged or burned out or tired. All through the Psalms, you look at the psalmist when he writes, you see an emotional person. God has built us emotionally. So don't dismiss that at all. But what has strengthened, what has sustained, what has helped us to be renewed and have our soul alive? And so today I want to talk about one of the issues that I think is very important in all of our lives, and that is stoke the fire. Stoke the fire. And all of us know what that means, because at least we live in a place where wherever there's a flame, you need to feed the flame. And if you don't, the flame dwindles and even goes out. And it loses its heat quality. It loses its light quality, the warmth. And so whether it's propane or gas or wood, there is a need for us to stoke the flame to keep it sustained. And let me say this. Feeding the flame demands us taking responsibility to feed the flame. It's a discipline in our lives. And it helps us to prosper because of doing it. There is fulfillment. There is abundant life. There's life on the inside. Because I've made as a priority in my life to stoke the flame of my soul. And so this is important for all of us in order to sustain and being alive on the inside. So let me speak of this. Here in chapter 20 of Jeremiah, if you look at verse 9, here's Jeremiah. Now, he's the weeping prophet. He's called by God for a particular ministry, but it has not been easy. And it says, well, if you even look back in verse 8, halfway through there, so the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more of his name, look at this. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And so that flame, that igniting of Jeremiah's soul, again, let's be real, in a calling of God where he was in the middle, listen, he was in the middle of God's perfect will for his life. And yet he was insulted, he was reproached, he was weeping, he was emotional, he understood all the dipsy-dido's of emotional going on. It was there that this flame was so powerful in Jeremiah's life that he said, even I'm not going to speak of it anymore, of what God wants, but he couldn't withhold himself because of what God's word did in his heart. Let's just flip back a couple chapters here, because we see also in chapter 15 and verse 16, here's Jeremiah's attitude. When your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. So Jeremiah stoked the flame. He stoked the fire in his own life. And this is the reason, because he was alive on the inside, that he could not hold back sharing what God had called him to do. And so in our lives, we want to understand that even in the most difficult times in our lives, faith in God comes by hearing the word of God. And Jeremiah kept stoking his heart, and he was alive throughout life's journey. God helped him there. When God spoke to Joshua that we read this morning, it was somewhat the same thing. Joshua, I am giving you a tremendous responsibility to lead this people. And these people will be not the easiest to get along with all the time. They rebel against God. Sometimes they don't do what they're told. And sometimes they get an attitude, Joshua. Now, it's not like unlike any of us. But Joshua, there's a few things that you need to do as a leader. And it would be, you need to be strong and you need to be courageous. That's verse 7 of Joshua 1. You need to be careful to obey the law of the Lord. And you need to meditate upon that law day and night. It needs to be a part of your life, Joshua. It's a pivotal thing in your life. What does God say? What has he said and what is he saying to you right today? This is an important issue, Joshua. And you need to be very intentional about being careful to obey it. And then he says, you need to be disciplined because you need to be doing everything that is written in it. Sometimes this is a tremendous trap for us to get in. We still like to be on the throne of our heart and to be Lord. So even when we're reading our Bibles, if we're not careful, we pick and choose. We pick and we choose what it is that we're going to be really concerned about or not so concerned about. And what gives us the right to do that? Joshua, be very careful to obey everything. And so in our lives, we can maybe not have an issue with one sin, and so it's no problem for us to obey not doing that. But it may be another sin or two that this is what Doug talked to us as men yesterday. There may be this other sin that you really do have a problem with, but you do not give it the intention to obey in every part. And so really, we're not giving God full access to my heart, Christ's home. I'm picking and choosing what rooms in my life I will let him into. And I may say to God, leave that sin alone. I'm enjoying that too much. Joshua, you can't do that. When you sit down with the Word of God, be careful to obey everything. One little fly in the ointment, that's taken from Ecclesiastes, I believe, destroys the whole thing. It's like finding a bug in your burger, okay? You get the point? You can have the greatest tasting thing, and if you find one little, it just ruins it. It's like putting an onion in something, you know? But you know what I mean? We can be diligently caring for various other parts of our lives, and we're keeping up appearances, and everybody thinks we're fine. And if we're tolerating that one sin, and we're not totally devoted to intentionally listening to God in every part of our lives. So whether it's Jeremiah or whether it's Joshua, our faith in God is seen with the attitude that God said it, I believe it, that settles it, I obey it. And it isn't just legalistic obedience, oh, I've got to adhere to this formality. It is rather, I love God. And I was thinking this morning in John chapter 14, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And so obedience isn't stoic. It isn't something, well, I guess I got to have to do it. 1 John chapter 3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So stoking this fire involves the scriptures. And whether it's Jeremiah in his circumstances or Joshua in his circumstances, if I'm going to be alive on the inside, which is God's will, and I'm going to have the abundant life and life to the full, I need to be stoking the fire. And increasingly, boy, there's scriptures that come to John chapter 1. If we meditate in the law day and night, we'll become like a tree planted by the river of water, and we'll have roots down and our leaves will flourish. Even Jeremiah, if your finger's still there in Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verse 7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots in its stream. And it does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And so God is the one who rewards our lives with an abundance, a sense of being alive on the inside, when we recognize that the Word of God is so important to us that we continually stoke the fire. And Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak, and then the hands will act, and our attitudes will be, but you need to guard your heart. And we need to have the discipline of stoking the fire properly. The point would be this. I need to fuel my soul. And in doing that, we're talking about self. We're talking about self-feeding. That needs to happen. We feed children. And sometimes coming to church on a Sunday morning or going to a Bible study during the week or whatever, I'm doing the feeding. Another teacher is doing the feeding. But the discipline of stoking the fire must become personal. I don't know how you work that out, because your mentality is different than mine. You may be the I've heard this week, good night, some people sleep into 8 and 9 and 10 in the morning. I don't have an understanding of how they do that. I am awake at 5, 5:30, 6, and so that's a good time of the day for me. And however I find moments, sitting in the truck, sitting here or there, to have Bible time and prayer time, I have to work that out myself. But just because you're not a morning person doesn't mean that you say, oh, well, I can't do that like Bill. No, it is our role and our responsibility to feed our souls so that the flame is alive. God is speaking to me. I am open to Him, and I need to be disciplined to make that happen. I was actually thinking, you know, I'm not one to sit for long periods of time and do that. I hear people who pray 2 or 3 hours. I mean, I'm asleep sometimes after 10 minutes, okay? But I'm thinking of Daniel, who set aside a discipline in his life where he prayed 3 times a day. And sometimes for me, that would be an easier discipline. Well, I can pray about this here, but then here, and I could have time there. And I am one who believes that though you have specific times of Bible and prayer and so on, the reality is we are to walk with God. And it doesn't mean you have to read a whole bunch of scripture in the morning to feed your soul. Sometimes I have read 1 or 2 scriptures and they have kept my soul alive all day. Because at any given moment, I'm just saying, well, God, thank you for what that little nugget that you gave me this morning. And wow, that is sustaining and that's good and I'm alive. And it's so refreshing to read that one phrase. You see what I mean? God really doesn't want us to have a stoic type of compartmentalized faith. This is Bible. Now this is work. Now this is family. Now this is social. God wants us to have all those things, but God wants to infiltrate and influence all of them. So the goal is, when I wake up in the morning, let's go, God. And I feed myself, and I'm ready to go into my workplace, into my social, into my family. And sometimes in the middle of those circumstances, I need the scripture badly, because the circumstances I may be presented with, or the wearing down influence of looking after kids or grandkids, or having that irritating person at work, or that gossip that just went around about, all those things just wear us, and we need to have a discipline of stoking the fire. Because if you don't, the fire is going to go down. It's going to get cold. It's going to go out. We'll have no influence. So this is a major issue. Stoke the fire in order to be alive on the inside. We know that the Holy Spirit is also described as a fire in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. It says there, do not quench the Spirit. And it reminds me of a fire hose, putting out the fire. And in the NIV here it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. We know from John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit there is a person, the third person of the Trinity, that Jesus has made resident in every person who knows Him, as a companion, a counselor, a teacher with us, because Jesus is in heaven right now. His Holy Spirit is here to teach us and to bring back to our mind the things that Jesus has taught to us. Now, this tells us that the Word of God and the Spirit of God are in league with one another and perfectly consistent. Some people say, well, the Spirit of God led me to do this, and I look and it's contrary to Scripture. That doesn't happen. That's an impossibility. The Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. It is inspired by Him. And so the Holy Spirit works in us as we read the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit makes those things real to us. And He helps us to understand. He makes them very personal. and he excites us about them and so on. So I need to be very sensitive to that Holy Spirit, as Galatians 5 says, walk in the Spirit. Walk. Be open to him. Be sensitive to him. And the word spoken to us through Scripture, the Holy Spirit working in us, does a transforming work within our hearts that makes us alive on the inside. To me, the big word here is listen. Because often, and I'll notice that as I'm reading through a portion of Scripture, now my mind's going in three other directions. And I can get down 15 verses and I don't even remember what the last 10 were. You know, you ever do that? It's the active mind is thinking on this, or something's preoccupying you because the baby's sick, or, you know, and I have to just stop and say, God, help me to really listen and focus. Help me to be open to you. 7 times, Revelation 2 and 3, he says to 7 churches, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so, listening is so important with the intention of valuing what God says and having a desire to do what God says. Let me put it this way. Reading God's Word and even having the Holy Spirit give us an understanding of it is not just education. It's a matter of entering into a relationship. And sometimes we just have to shake ourselves. And it isn't just about Bible knowledge. It's about knowing God. And so when we read our Bible, as we sang this morning, open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Teach us to listen. And so sometimes we just need to ask that the Holy Spirit will give us focus and a listening ear. What I'm really getting down to is this isn't an academic formal exercise as much as the very foundation of growing in our love for Jesus. It's a relationship, isn't it? So stoking the flame is to keep my relationship, my vitality, in terms of loving Jesus, alive and well on the inside. And it sort of just goes that I need to surrender to him and I need to be open to him. Lord, teach us to listen. Open our eyes. There's another chorus we could have done this morning, Janelle. I was thinking of it. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. And it's that cry that God wants to satisfy. So the Scriptures with the Holy Spirit are so important. How important is this? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 for a minute. You're very familiar with this because we used to sing this as a chorus in Sunday school and so on. But here in Matthew chapter 7, we have the parable of the wise men and the foolish man. Chapter 5 through 7, Jesus is sitting on a hillside. You don't have to be in the temple. You don't have to be in church. Jesus is sitting on the hillside, and he's teaching the disciples and all those who came. There were many topics he spoke to them over these 3 chapters. Let me put it this way. If Jesus gets personal with us, he could say this. We could say it. Jesus spoke to me. And we could also say, I heard from Jesus. If you were sitting on that hillside, in the same way that you may be sitting in your armchair with your coffee or sitting in your vehicle or whatever you're doing, we can say, Jesus spoke to me through this book. Because he's not here. The book is written as a record of what he said. But I could also say, I heard from Jesus because I read his word. But the other aspect here is this, that I need to decide in view of what I've heard, that I will follow Jesus. How important is this? Look at verse 24, Matthew 7. Everyone who hears these words of mine, I heard from Jesus, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, and it beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had foundation on a rock. But everyone who hears, we heard Jesus, these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and they beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. It is not enough to just hear what Jesus has said, or to know that Jesus has spoken, and it's not enough to just hear it. The purpose of Jesus communicating is to get us to the place where what he has said is of such necessity to us that we believe Jesus. It's not a matter of just believing in Jesus or believing in the Bible. Anybody can do that. It's a matter of believing Jesus. And so, when I stoke the fire, when I take in Scripture, and the Holy Spirit helps me to understand, and I indeed know that Jesus spoke to me, and I have heard him, the intention of that whole effort is that I will decide to be alive on the inside because I have chosen to follow Jesus. And so here, to follow Jesus means that I will stand in the storm of judgment when I stand before God, but I go much farther than that because Jesus didn't say just that he came to give us life, but he came to give us life to the full. And that means that on planet Earth, I can stand upright. I can stand strong. I can stand alive on the inside. I stand in the Scriptures. I stand by the Spirit. I stand in obedience with God. And I am in fellowship with God because if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So today, one of the things that helps us to be alive on the inside, to have the abundant life, life to the full, is that Jesus is the foundation of everything. He is Lord to us. I need to feed my soul, and I need the Holy Spirit to help me, and I need to choose to follow Jesus. Alive on the inside is the fruit of the Holy Spirit having freedom to make God's word real in our hearts and our lives so that we love the Lord our God, and that becomes a sustaining force regardless of what goes on around us. And therefore, I can have life to the full, life more abundant. But let me say, we really need to stoke the fire, and that's our responsibility. Other than that, the flame dwindles, the flame goes out, we have no influence, and we have been disobedient. So this morning, it's so important that we believe Jesus in regard to these things. Now, all of us have to make this a prayer. In our final hymn, we actually did this final one last week, because often we need revival. And that just recognizes that in the moment, Lord, I'm not what I was yesterday or the day before or last week. I need a touch. And I need you to touch me in special ways so that I'll get back to my vitality and not just be going through the motions of being what's called a Christian. But rather, I'm going to obey Jesus. And I've made that decision. God, I need your help. Help me. So let's stand together as we close with our hymn, Revive.